Next kina is the first of the kinas to talk about the Crusades. And as when we talk about the Crusades, it's on one hand it's a continuation of in many ways it's a continuation of the last kina of Arzei Levanim, because a big part of the lament over the Crusades is the loss of the center of Torah. The three major cities in Germany, Mainz, Speyer, and Worms, Vermeisa. So these cities were the cities of the center of Torah. This is where the Bali Atosvos learned. And some of the earlier Bali Atosvos, this was the center of Torah, and we lost a lot of what was written in those times because they were wiped out, unfortunately, in the Crusades. And there is a point of chizuk, though, here. And that point of chizuk is to realize the nitzchius of Torah. That Germany was the center of Torah. And even though that was wiped out, Hashem already in his hashgacha had left a seed somewhere else for Torah to regrow. And that was Rashi. Rashi had gone from Germany to France. And then from there, Rashi rebuilt Torah. And as we know, his grandchildren became the new Bali Atosvos. And that was the continuation of Torah. The same thing in the Holocaust, where one of the major losses of the Holocaust, besides obviously the terribly painful numbers of people that were lost, but it was the center of Torah. Europe was the center of the Torah world. And all the yeshivos except one, only one yeshiva from Europe survived in its entirety. And but there was a seed planted elsewhere. There was a seeds of things in America. There's not much in America. There are a few yeshivos at that time, but there was a seed there to regrow, and there are a few yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, and from there we were able to regrow. So we cry over the loss of Torah, and again the Kvod Shemayim, that is the lack of Kvod Shemayim that's brought about from that, as we spoke about. But we also take chizuk within that to realize that Hashem, the Torah is nitzchi, the Torah continues to exist, and Hashem always has a way to make sure the Torah will continue. I'd like to go, it's a little bit of a difficult kina, the words are a little difficult. I'd like to go through a bunch of the words here to understand and maybe elaborate on a few of the points. So we begin, Hachrishu mimeni v'adabera v'yavor alayma. This is based on a pasuk in Iyov, and Iyov, after he's given the tzidduk hadin, he's told why it is that the suffering is coming to him, he says, leave me alone, I just want to speak, and the avar alayma, okay, whatever happens to me will happen. Chamas ezak v'shol l'shcha shachin shemayim. I'm just going to cry out to Hashem. We say, hetzikasni ruchi v'lochal edoma. So my feelings, ruchi, my feelings grab me, and I can't v'lochal edoma. I can't sit silently. I am in pain and I cry out like a woman who's giving birth. A woman who's giving birth, she can't hold back her feelings or can't hold back her cries. So too, the suffering that's described here from the kinos, the suffering of the Crusades, is at the point that we can't hold back. There's nothing that could stop us from crying. It's so painful. Mispeid mar esev akonein benhima. We describe the misbeid, the eulogies, the lament, the crying that we're going to say at this time, and it's described as divrei sha'agasi yitchu kiyama. They were the words of my cries will pour like the sea, either describing that there's going to be a tremendous amount of water, and I'm going to cry the water like the water of the oceans. Or it might be with the sound of the ocean, the loud sound of the crashing of the waves. That will also be the description of my cries. Sifdi ala dosiya sher nitna l'shama. I cry out over my nation that was left to destruction. And we end, arid b'sichi v'yahima v'kol nehi arima. And this is the refrain throughout the kina. We say, arid b'sichi v'yahima, I'm going to cry out and tell over the story of what happened. The kol nehi arima, I'm going to raise my sound, my voice of cry. we see from this presentation, from this paragraph, is that a balance that we've alluded to. There's a balance in kinos that on the one hand, we cry, and on the other hand, we have the concept of tzedek hadin, that we understand why it is. We understand that Hashem punishes. And we understand there's a plan. But as we see here, I think it was included in this kinos, this pasuk from Iyov, that even though you know why something's happening, even though intellectually you understand that there's a plan and there's a punishment, still we have the right and maybe even the responsibility to cry out to Hashem. And we cry out to Hashem, as we said, even though we know we're being punished, we don't want it to be that way. We want the Beis HaMikdash, we want the Kvod Shemayim, and we want to get to the level of tshuva. We move on to the next paragraph. Eich shavas masos ervas simcha. How could it be that we shavas, it was stopped, all our simcha, all our simcha was lost in the world. Kol panim parur v'chol rosh karcha v'chol zakan gedua v'al kol lev anacha. So these are all descriptions of the terrible pain that was brought about by the Goy Az, the strong nation that wanted to seek out our destruction. And then we say, Sila Birai Hogei Oz Mivtecha, that they trampled upon the Gedolei HaTorah that Hogei Oz. Who are the Hogeos? Hogeos are the ones who pronounce the Torah, ones who speak the Torah. It's those who were trampled over. Besulosai uvachurai nasach b'nesicha. It was our besulos and bachurim, the young people, were just left out. Barosh kol chutos nivlasam kasucha. Their nevela, their dead bodies, were just thrown out onto the street. This is a tremendously painful description of bodies just lying in the street. And we know in the stories we read of the ghettos and in the Holocaust of dead bodies, people just left out to die and suffer in the street. I saw Rav Aaron Lobiansky told over for Rav Lentzias Rosh Hashiva in Silver Spring. He's a brother-in-law of Rav Tzvi, and he told over that during World War II, there was a man walking in the street, and he saw a pile of rags on the street. So, and as he was looking closely, he saw there was a body there. And he rolled over to see who it was, and it was the Rebbetzin of Reb Chaim Ozer. Reb Chaim Ozer died naturally right before the war, but he was the Gadol Dor, and his Rebbetzin was just on the ground dying of starvation. And what he did for her, he had a carrot in his pocket, and he offered it to her, but she was too weak to even chew the carrot. So what he did was he chewed the carrot for her, and then would take it out of his mouth and give it to her so she could eat it. Such bizyonos, we go from Malchus, we go from Chaim Ozer, the Gadol Dor, his Rebbe is just such lowliness. And that's what's described here in the Kina. That the nevelos, the dead bodies, or dying bodies, are just left out into the street. Ololai v'tapai nechshavu kitzon tivcha elila azos v'dimasi al lecha. The children were like tzon, were like cattle that were just taken, and we cry about this. There's nothing to do, and they were just taken away. And we call out, the Python calls out, this was written soon after the kinos, Heyosvu Eli Dvuye Tzoni Dacha, Larbos Abechi, Abchiul Harim Tzvacha. We cried out, the Python calls out that we should all gather together and cry together with tremendous pain. Just to understand what the pain, what this suffering is like. The Mashkiach of Ner Yisrael for many years was Rav David Kornglass, and he was in Shanghai with Mir Yeshiva. And the introduction to his Sefer that was put out on his Sichos on the Parsha, so he describes what it was like in Shanghai. And he describes that every few days he would get another message of a relative of his that was killed. And one after the other, we get message after message, and before long, his entire family was wiped out. And the pain, the weight on his heart, on his shoulders that he felt from hearing one bad news, one piece of bad news after the other, so it broke him. He couldn't he couldn't go on normally. Derech Agav, he describes there that he was so broken, he didn't know what to do, so he transferred his energies into learning, and he decided to learn something that no one else was learning, something he had never learned before. He learned Seder Zeroyim. And he went on to write tremendous Chidushim in Seder Zeroyim because he didn't know what to do. He couldn't go on with normal life. He just had to make a complete change in his schedule of doing things because you can't go on with that pain. So that's what the Kina here is describing. Hey, Asvu Elai Devuyei Tzonir Dacha. Maybe it's calling out to us, but maybe it's the Paitan also saying that it was gathered all together. All the pain was just building up, was just gathering up, the Harbosa B'chil Arim Tzvachan, which just added, increased the cry and the pains. And that's what's being described here, that it's just building up and building up. We move on in the next paragraph to call out to the Malachim. Er Elim Tzu V'tza'aku Mara Svod Tamrur Heogdu B'chavura. We call out to the Malachim, please cry out. Maybe there's a reference to the Medrash you said earlier, that the Malachim do call, do cry Kino. We ask them to daven with us and for us. Kol kacholah tzara kimav kira, that they should cry out with the cries of a person who's sick, a person who's giving birth. The idea here of this tremendous pain is when a person's in pain, a person's suffering, a person's sick, so you cry, you don't even understand how anyone else doesn't feel that pain, but it's a tremendously, tremendously deep pain. And during that time, and the pain was just, they couldn't move on with their regular lives. Then we begin to speak a very famous theme of the Kina. We speak about the Mesiras Nefesh, that the Jews had not to give in and not to convert to Christianity, which was maybe a primary or secondary goal of the Crusaders. And that begins in the middle of that paragraph. That the Jews gathered together with precious, with tahara, purity, to mekadesh shem shemayim. And they would hug each other and they would support each other. To stand strong with yirat shemayim and not to bow down to avodah zara. And Rahman al-Atslan, it's debated in the Rishonim whether this was right or not, but it was clearly coming from a place of tremendous Yira Shamayim and tremendous closeness to Hashem, that they didn't even have mercy on their own children. And they would kill their children before letting them come pray to the Crusaders, Yimach Shema. What we see here is the tremendous power of a Jew, the tremendous heroism of a Jew, even in the most difficult times, to stand strong. One story Rechanoch Teller tells of Rebbetzin Meyer was her name. She was the mother of Rav David Hirsch Meyer, who was Mashkiach in the Stanford Yeshiva for many years. And she got to one of the concentration camps, and she got there pregnant, about to give birth, and she was set in her mind that this was going to be a boy. She wanted to have a bris milah. And Kachava, she gave birth soon after she got to a camp, and there she was with this boy. And a miracle happened that on the eighth day, the day of the bris, so the mohel from her town, in wherever she was from, happened to arrive at the camp on that day, and he thought he didn't have a knife, and he reached into his pocket, he did have a knife, and he was able to do the bris milah. And she gathered whatever she could. She wanted to make a sudas mitzvah. She gathered whatever little pieces of food that she could, because she was so focused on not only the bris milah, but a sudas bris milah. And at that moment, she made a promise that if she survived, and the child survived, she would really make the sudas mitzvah right at the bar mitzvah. And Kach Hava, this Rebbetzin Meyer survived, and she had this son was named Menashe. And the story goes that at his bar mitzvah, she made a beautiful simcha to make up for what was lost at the bris milah. And apparently, as he was about to begin his bar mitzvah drasha, so an old man who smelled bad walked in and started interrupting what was happening, and they wanted to kick him out, and he said he wanted to speak. Okay, so finally let him speak. He said, all you think you're here for a Sudas bar mitzvah? He said, you're really here for a Sudas bris milah. He said, I was deep in hell with you 13 years ago. And he said to the crowd, it was the mother of this child, it was this Revitzin Meyer, who reminded us who we are and who we should be. And what she served, he said, what she served in that Sudas mitzvah, that bris milah, in the jaws of the lion, said that was the sweetest food they ever ate. Sweeter than all the food that's being served at this bar mitzvah. That's the heroism of a Jew, that even in the lowliest of times, they stay strong. They remain not only moral and civil, but we remain committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, determined to be Mekayim his mitzvot. And that was his Rebbetzin Meyer, and that's described here in the Kina over the Crusades, about how the Jews at that time were so focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so focused on Hashem, that no matter what would happen, that would be, they would stay committed. Kina goes on and describes how they accepted, next paragraph, Az hiskimu gedolim uktanim lekabel be'ahava din shochein me'onim. The people, again, as we said, they stayed committed, and they were mekabel be'ahava din shochein me'onim. They were mekabel, they accepted upon themselves the decree from heaven. And then it's described first how the Zakenim were killed, and when it's described, Vinis Arvu Pidarim Im Parshadonim, a very unclear term. The Mefarshim explain what's described here, a terrible description of after killing the elderly and killing out people, so they're the Pidarim, or the intestines, were mixed with Parashadonim. They were mixed with the waste in the street. There was the people were totally destroyed and thrown about. And Ha'avos Ashayu Rachmanim Nefchu Lachzar Kayeinim. The people who had Rachmanas were changed to be like ostriches, to be cruel like ostriches. And apparently ostriches, they kill their own children if they get into distress. And that's a description here again of the very painful situation that parents chose to kill their children. Again, if this is, as we read the words, in order to get some of the feelings, we have to read slowly and carefully and think about the words. And if we can't, as we said last night, if we can't actually feel it through reading these words, at least use the imagery and the mishalim of other stories we have, in terms of we know of the terrible suffering that we've seen over our history. Maybe one story of suffering that we can kind of have in our mind as we go through. We know the very sad story of Nava Applebaum and David Applebaum. Dr. David Applebaum was one of the close talmidim of Aaron Soloveitchik, and they were killed together the night before her wedding. So I have a friend who lives in Yerushalayim whose family is very close to the Applebaum family. And he told me he was in the Yerucham Yeshiva, the Hezer Yeshiva in Yerucham, which is down in the south. And he described that the next morning at 5 a.m. they were killed on a Motzei Shabbos. And at 5 a.m. he got a call from his father. And his father said, come to Yerushalayim right now. And I don't know if he remembered. I remembered that whether he was told then or he didn't know exactly what it was. But he said, come to Yerushalayim, he knew it was something bad. And he remembers, he heard what happened, he remembers walking into his house, and on the table of the dining room was a shopping list and a meal menu. And that they were supposed to host Sheva Brachos that week for Nava Applebaum. And that feeling, that was heart-wrenching to see that at that moment, to see that list just really brought the pain out. So as we read through these kinos, to realize pain like this is the pain that's being described in the kino. It's being described by the people that are there. And hopefully we'll be able to connect a little bit with the feelings of this kino.